Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bab Basra daf Kuf Lamed Beis. We are holding at the very top of daf Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph by Rava, right at the beginning of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bar Simcha Aleha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should return home safely. And also by Zev Belsky in honor of the 35th yard site of his grandfather, Yehoshua Yitzchak Ben David, a Talmud Muvuk of Rav Baruch Ber and Mechaber Sefer Melchamas Yehoshua, his Neshama Shevin Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to be discussing today is the following. First, we left off yesterday by talking about a case where a guy gives all of his Nechasim to his wife or to a variety of other people, and the assumption is he doesn't really mean to give it all as a Matana. What he's doing is he's showing covet, he's making the person an apotropos. So the Gemara is going to ask, all of those dinim that we spoke about where we assumed he wasn't really giving it as a matana, he was just making her an apotropos, would that be true even if he was a bari, even if he wasn't a shchiv mira at the time that he gave the matana, even if he was perfectly healthy? So the Gemara is going to try to bring one raya on that issue. The raya is not going to ultimately work out, but that raya is going to lead the Gemara into a discussion about whether we follow an umdana to be mevata lekinyan, meaning do we assume that, let's say, a person is makna something to somebody else, but it's only, we're pretty sure he only did that because he was making some sort of assumption about his life circumstance that turned out not to be true at all, meaning he was makna everything he had to somebody because he thought his children had all died, and then it turns out that they weren't dead, that they were alive. So to what extent do we follow an umdana when it comes to being mevatel a kinyan? Then the Gemara is going to talk about if a husband gifts some karka to his wife and the rest to his kids, what happens to her ksuba? Does her acceptance of that small amount of karka amount to a mechila for her ksuba? Or do we assume no? And on that discussion, also the Gemara is going to ask, well, does it matter if he was a bari when this happened? Is that a shchiv mira? So if you're keeping track, that's three discussions in a row where the Gemara has a particular discussion about what a guy does, and then says, oh, and would it change if he's a bari when that happens? That's probably why that discussion is here. It's really Mesachas Ksuba's discussion. It's got nothing to do with Babas. But that's probably why it's here, because it also discusses, and what if he's a bari, does that change anything? Then the Gemara is going to tell us a story that clarifies what kind of matana the wife would need to receive in order to make her be mochel ksuba or to lose her ksuba. So let's begin the top of the page. Kuf lamed beis amiral bari rava bebari heich. Let's say you have a bari who's kosev all of his nechasim to his wife, and mehayom or mehayom alachar misa. So what would be the din? Do we say over there also that he's not really giving her everything? He's making an apotropos, just like we said by a shchiv mira. Or do we say no? By a bari, the din is going to be different. Then he's really giving her a matana. Then he's serious. So b'shchiv mira hu dinichle de l'shtam and mila. Maybe it's only by a shchiv mira where we say he's only making her an apotropos to give her kavod, so that, because he wants to ensure that when he's no longer around, his children are still going to respect her. So he makes her the executor on the estate. Avol bebari hakayihu. But if he's a bari, he's still alive, so he can make sure that they're being mechabed her. He doesn't need to set up some sort of system and mechanism through which his wife is going to receive kavod. He'll be around. He'll stand up for her kavod. So maybe because of that, it can't be that he's making her an apotropos just to give her kavod, and therefore he must be serious. He must really be intending to give her the nechasim. That's how the Rashbam explains that since he's going to be around, they'll be mechabed him because they fear him. Rabbeinu Gershom writes that he'll be able to give them mussar. Why aren't you giving your mother proper kavod? So whatever it is, his being around will change things. Or maybe even if he's a bari, he wants them to be mechabed her now, and he's making her an apotropos right now, so that right now already they will show her the proper kavod. The Rashbam understands that it's not that she's going to become an apotropos right now, because you don't need an apotropos right now, he's still around. It means that already right now he's setting it up that she will be an apotropos after he dies. And that will already make them respect her now, because they know the future relationship. They know that once he dies, all the money goes through her. So that will already cause them to show a certain amount of respect. So that's the shaila. When a guy is Kosev called the Chasav l'Ishto. So we said yesterday, he's just giving her kavod, and he's just trying to make her not petropas, but she doesn't actually own all of the Chasim. But that was by Shchiv Meira. What's the din if he's a Bari? So Tashima, the one and only Raya we're going to bring is from the following Braisa. HaKosev Peiros Nechasav l'Ishto. If a person gives his wife Peiros that grow in his field as a Matana, and when he dies, Gova ksuba samina karka. She can collect her ksuba from that very karka. We don't say that since he gave her the peros of the karka, she's mochelas on the shibud that she has in that karka for her ksuba payment. And even if he gave her the karka as a matana gemura with the peros, but lemechza l'shlish l'revia, that she gets half of the karka, a third of the karka, a quarter of the karka, so not just the peros, but the actual karka he had given her, still gova ksuba samina shar. She can collect her ksuba from the rest of the karka that he had not given her. We do not assume that she took this piece of property and said, you know what, since I'm already benefiting from it right now, whatever shibud I have to be allowed to collect my ksuba from that karka, I'm mochel. No, we do not assume that. We assume that even if she's already been given the peros of that karka, or she's already been given a portion of that karka, she still intends to be able to collect her ksuba from that karka. Now the Rashbam points out, what do you mean collect her ksuba? Isn't she collecting by getting that piece of karka, by getting those peros? Rashbam writes, moser chov ksubasa. Whatever chov is left of the ksuba, we do assume whatever matana he's giving her is meant to pay toward her ksuba, but her ksuba maybe is worth a lot of money. So whatever's left in the ksuba payment is what we're talking about collecting. Now this din, the second din, we had two dinim over here. One, if he gives her peros of the karka, and the second, if he gives her an actual ownership within the karka, l'shlish l'mechza l'shlish l'revia l'mechza l'shlish l'revia. So the second din is a greater chiddush because he actually gave her karka mamish, not only peros. So the Bryce is saying in a lozu avzu, right, that not only if he gives her just peros, so she still maintains a shibud. Even if he gave her actual karka, she still maintains a shibud. However, within the second chiddush, it says lemechza l'shlish ul'revia. Well, once I know that even if she gets half of the karka, she's still maintaining a shibud. Obviously, if she's only getting shlish or avia, she's still maintaining a shibud. So even though in broader terms, it's lo zu av zu, not only if it's just peros, but even if it's a chelik of the karka, within the chelik of the karka, the way it phrases it is not lo zu av zu, it's in the opposite direction. So the Rashbam writes, yeah, because whenever we talk about these fractions, we always say mechza shlish l'revia. So we're just using the lashon that Shas uses, even though over here it would have made more sense lo zu avzu to say l'revia l'shlish l'mechza. Other Rishonim say, or the Rashash actually points out, that you don't have to say that, right? You could say that it's lo zu avzu, and the mechza l'shlish l'revia is not talking about the portion that she gets, it's talking about the portion that he keeps for himself. And then it becomes lo zu avzu, because it's really l'mechza l'shlish. So it actually would be a lozu avzu. But bottom line is, she still maintains her rights to collect her ksuba from that very karka, even though he gave her peros in the karka, or he even gave her a portion of the karka. Kasav kol nechasim liishto, if he writes all of his nechasim to belong to his wife, viyatza lav shtarchov, and then someone else comes with a shtarchov that says that the husband owed money before this matana that he had given his wife. So they've been married for 20 years. 10 years into the marriage, apparently he owed money to somebody. And then 15 years into the marriage, he was kosev kol nechasim liishto. So this guy, this balchov, predates that matana, but is after the ksuba. So Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazar says, since her shtar ksuba predates that chov, tikra matanasa, let her tear up the shtar matana because she doesn't need it anymore. Vitamin al ksubasa, and she'll use her ksuba to collect from his karkaos before the shtar chov. She's not going to lose out on those nechasim because the shibud of her ksuba predates the shibud of this guy. So the chiddush is that we say that when he writes kol nechasim lishto, it wasn't with the intention that from here on in she's going to be mochel her ksuba, and now she's only going to be receiving all of this stuff as a matana. No, it's only to make her to give her more power to be able to get additional nechasim that she maybe would not have gotten with her ksuba. That's why he was kosev kol nechasim. Ksuba entitles her to X amount, but he's being kosev Kol nechasav. So he's trying to be yafakocha. He's trying to give her a little more power, not less power. So now, as it turns out, this shtar matana is harmful to her because now a bal chov is going to come and take all of it because it predates the shtar matana. She could say, not interested in the shtar matana anymore. I'm going back to the ksuba. And my ksuba predates the shtar matana. That is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. The chamam and the chamam say, no, she's not able to collect from these nechasim. She's not able to collect the ksuba from these nechasim. They were given to her as a matana. And therefore, the assumption is she's mochal ksuba if it was given to her as a matana. And therefore, tikra ksubasa. We got to rip up the ksuba because there's no more benefit to the ksuba. The ksuba is not considered to be binding anymore. The Rashbam says you don't have to literally rip up the ksuba. In fact, you shouldn't because she still needs the shtar ksuba for any properties to collect from any properties that the husband may have purchased after the point of that chov. Meaning the guy that has the chov is only going to be able to collect from properties that were meshubad, that were prior to the chov. So she wants to still be able to collect the ksuba from anything she got after the chov. So it doesn't mean that you rip up the ksuba, and it doesn't mean that if she gets the matana, she's mochel legamri on the ksuba. It means she's mochel the shibud she has on this karka, as far as the ksuba is related. That's how the Rashbam understands. However, the Meiri understands, bepashtos, the mamish korea the ksuba, and she's mochel the entire ksuba completely. Okay, so says the Gemara, so tikra ksuba, and therefore, instead, she only has her matana, which means she loses out on either end. Because as far as the ksuba, she's not able to get it because she was already mochel the shibud that the ksuba awards her in this karka. So she has no claim on this karka midinur ksuba. And as far as her star matana, she can't get it because the bal chov has kedima. The bal chov gets it first. So she ends up. She initially had two sources of shibud on this karka. Now she has zero because she was, according to the chamim, because she was mocha the ksuba, and the shtar matan is useless because the bal chov predates her. Va'amar Rabbi Yehuda hanachtom, and Rabbi Yehuda the baker said, "Ma'isavi ira davar bebasa chosikala." That one time it happened with my niece, whose husband gave her all of his nechassim, and then a bal chov came to collect, and his shtar chov predated her shtar matana. So the question was, can she still claim a shibud on this karka? Mitamer ksuba uba ma'aslof nechachamim. So they went and they asked the chachamim if she could use her ksuba to collect from this karka. Va'amru tikra ksubasa v'tamod al matanasa nimtis karachas mikanu mikan. And they confirmed the shita of the chachamim, not like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, yeah, let her ignore the shtar matana and use the ksuba. The chacham said, no, she was already mochel any shibud that the ksuba awards her in this karka, and therefore she's karachas mikanu mikan. There is some discussion. Who is this Rabbi Yehuda Hanachtom? He doesn't come up so often in Shas, right? This Rabbi Yehuda Hanachtom. So in Yalkut Shimoni, he's listed as one of the Asara Haruge Malchus. So apparently he is someone that we talk about a lot, just maybe not by name. Where did he get the name Rabbi Yehuda Hanachtom? So in Kaftar B'Farach, he quotes that his umnus was that he was a baker. However, in the Medrash Shir Hashirim, it says, Lama hayu karen lo Rabbi Yehuda Hanachtom, shayimotzi divrei Torah arevim kelechem, because his divrei Torah were so sweet and delicious, like what you would get from a bakery. It was so wonderful, his chidushei Torah. Now, in the Penina Halacha section of the Masifta over here, he quotes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Kolonimus Mishapira, who says that in fact there were two Tanoim that were named Rabbi Yehuda Hanachtom. One was from the Asar Ruge Malchus, and that's the one you find in Yalkut Shimoni. Yalkut Shimoni was authored by someone in a Tana named Shimon, or someone named Shimon, and Roshach's point that Yalkut Ruveni is someone named Ruvei. Yalkut Ruveni is a bunch of Medrash Plios. Yalkut Shimoni is more classical Midrashim. So over there we're told about his Hariga, and he was, and it said that he was in the Dor of Rabbi Akiva, And that's what Tosfos Chagiga says, that he was the son, that Elisha ben Avuya went letarbas ra'a when he saw his tongue put in the mouth of a dog, meaning that was part of the way he was killed in the Asara Harugei Malchus. And the second Rabbi Yehuda Nachtom was from the later generations of Tanayim, from the days of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and he happens to be mentioned in Maseches Menachos as well. So then he has a discussion, which of the two Rabbi Yehuda Nachtoms is our Brisa quoting? And he says that it's Mestaver, that it's the first Rabbi Yehuda Nachtom, because he's coming to argue on Rabbi Eliezer and say that the Halach is not like Rabbi Eliezer. Well, if it was the second Rabbi Yehuda Nachtom, I don't need you to argue on Rabbi Eliezer to tell me that the halach is not like Rabbi Eliezer, because the Chum already argued in Rabbi Eliezer and said the halach is not like Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning, if you already have a rabbim against the yachid, Elamai, he must have come earlier on before there were a chachamim that argued on Rabbi Eliezer, and that's why he's saying this ma'isa rav. So two Rabbi Yehuda Nachtoms, and this must be the earlier of the two Rabbi Yehuda Nachtoms, the one who was, in fact, from the Asara Harugei Malchus. But be that as it may, that's the machlokas tanaim. If a person gives a matana, he gives all of his nuchasim to his wife as a matana, then a balchov comes. So do we say all she's got is the star matana, which means she has no shibul on this karka because balchov comes first, or do we say she could still utilize her Ksuba? So it says, but all of this was an attempt to bring a raya about whether when someone is kosev kol nechas of lishto, that he's making her an apotropos, is that true by a bari as well, or only by a shchiv mira? So it says, taima the yatzal of shtar chov. Sounds like the whole reason she loses this karka is because there's a shtar chov that has a prior shibud, according to the chamim. Halo yatzal of shtar chov, but if there was no shtar chov with a prior shibud, kanya, then she would be in possession of this of this karka. Obimai, well, how would she be in possession of it? Ilema b'shchiv mira, if the case is that it was a shchiv mira that was a writing called nechas of lishto v'amad l'asal b'tropas. I thought we said yesterday that when a shchiv mira is kosev called nechas of lishto, he's not really giving her anything. He's just making her an apotropos. It's a way of showing her kavod to make her an apotropos. Elalav, so what's the case where we're assuming that it's a genuine matana, and as long as there are no other liens on this property, then she's gonna still have, she'll be able to own this property? The bari, it must be that he was kosev kol nechasav when he was a bari. So you see that when someone is kosev kol nechasav leishto, when he is a bari, he is not making her an apotropos. He's actually being makna to her the karka. So that's the raya. So says Gemara, is that a good raya? Nah, the olam b'shchiv mira. Maybe Itaki is talking about a shchiv mira, and it's talking about a case where, remember yesterday we said that if you're kosev kol nechasav leishto, you're probably just making her an apotropos. But then we gave a bunch of exceptions. We said a bunch of cases where probably you're not so interested in being mechabed your wife, meaning she's not your wife, she's your ex-wife. Or what were the other cases? Or we said or ishto arusa, right? She's not yet your full wife, so you're not showing her kavod. So we had all these exceptions anyway. So maybe that's the case over here, that it's kosev kol nechas of ishto, but it's the kind of ishto that he would not be showing her the kavod of making her an apotropos, and mele he's giving her this karka. So the Rav Avira would say, and it's talking about Ishto Arusa or Ishto Grusha, the people that you would not be assuming that he's giving kavod to. Ravina Mokilo be Ishto Arusa, be Ishto Grusha, and Ravina would say it's talking about Ishto Arusa, Ishto Grusha. The Rashbam points out they're saying the same thing, just one calls it Bakulu, the other one calls it by name, Ishto Arusa, Ishto Grusha, but they're both saying the same thing. That's the kind of wife that we're talking about. We're just using the same Lashonos that they used in yesterday's daf. Because when you say Bekulu, Rav Avira actually didn't only say Ishtar Rusa Ishtar Grusha, he also said Bas Eitzel Abanim. It's just that has nothing to do with our case, because in our case we're talking about a wife, we're not talking about a Bas. So we're using the similar terminology. So bottom line is, we have no Raya Brura from our Brisa, what the din is by a Bari, so we cannot be Poshet, the Suffolk that we started the daf with, when a guy is Kosev, Kol Nechas of Lishto, and he is a Bari, and he is a perfectly healthy person, Do we assume that he's making an apotropos, or do we assume that it's a real matana? We don't know, right? At the end of the day, we don't have a clear hachra'a. So obviously that leads to machlokas rishonim. How do we paskin? So the Rif and other rishonim write that misafek, you have to say she's only an apotropos because she's trying to be motzi these nuchasim from the yorshim. Hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. They are the muchzakim in it. So the Rif, as well as the Rambam in chasuchia parak vav alach dalid, and it's paskin's way in shulchan aruch nevnezer simon kuf zayin. Say that she's only an apotropos. She does not really own the property. However, the Ritva is machria adraba. Since she has a shtar matana, she's the muchzak. She's muchzak. She has a shtar that says that he gave it to her as a matana. They want to say, no, he was just kidding. He was just trying to show you kavod. She's got a shtar matana. She's the muchzak. So they're going to have to prove that that it was just to show her some level of kavod. The Ran writes that since this whole din is only an umdana, he says, since this din is not only in umdana, it's hilchsa below taima, you can't be mechadesh that which is not mefurash in it. And since it's not mefurash that by bari they were mesakin this strange din, therefore we assume it's a kinyan gamur. Meaning the whole din is a huge chiddush. It's hilchsa below taima that a guy gives a matana, and we're going to say, yeah, it's not a matana. When he gave a matana, he wrote a star matana. We're going to say it's not a matana. So it's, you know, in the chabal al-chidusho. You only apply that chiddush where we know that there was such a takana that we assume that it was only making her an apotropos. But without that, unless if it's not precise, if it's not exactly that case, we're not going to apply such a gevaldik chiddush. Okay, next discussion on the daf. Amar Rav Yosef bar Minyumi, Amar Rav Nachman, halacha tikra ksubasa. So the next discussion, but the psak halacha, he says, as far as the case of the machlokas Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim, meaning we've been discussing Rava's original shayla. What about by a bari? And we brought this brisa that had this whole machlokas Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim as a raya. But what about the actual machlokas Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim? You have a woman who has a shtar matana where we assume she's becoming the real owner of this property, but there's a shtar chov that predates it, but her ksuba predates that shtar chov. So does she have a shibud on this karka? So Rabbi Lezer says, yeah, let her use a ksuba. And the Chachamim said, no, the ksuba's gone. She can only use the shtar matana, and the shtar chov predates the shtar matana. So how do we paskin? Like the Chachamim nimtzis karachas, mikan and mikan, like Rabbi Yehuda HaNachtom had confirmed through the story with his niece. So says the Gemara, really? Rav Nachman paskins that way? Lememer deloaz, Rav Nachman umdana. Do you mean to tell me Rav Nachman doesn't follow an umdana? Meaning, why do you think the guy was being kosev kol nechasav lishto? To make her lose? You think he was giving all of his nechasim as a matana to his wife so that now she'll have no shibud on the karka? No, obviously he was trying to make things better for her, not to make things worse for her. So apparently Rav Nachman says, I don't care why, I just have to look at what. According to this shtar, she's mochel the shibud based on the ksuba. All you got is this shtar matana. This shtar matana is predated by a shtar chov. I don't care what was going through his head. But really, Rav Nachman doesn't care what's going through a person's head. What about the following case? Someone's son went to Medina Siyam and he heard that his son had died because of kol nechasav la'acherim, and because of that, he went and he wrote all of his nechasim to other people. And then his son came. His son was really alive. Matana. So his matana is really a good matana because he didn't say that he's only giving this matana because his son was dead, even though it's obvious that that's why he was giving the matana. That's the umdana, but he never said so. Rabbi Shimon Menasi Omer ain matanas matana. Rabbi Shimon Menasi says, no, it's not a valid matana. Had he known that his son was alive, he never would have just given away everything to other people. Rav Nachman, halacha Rabbi Shimon Menasi. And this very same Rav Nachman says, we follow Rabbi Shimon Menasi. So apparently, even Rav Nachman follows an umdana. Even Rav Nachman is going to say, we got to do a little mind reading. And even though he doesn't say it, we assume he only intends to give this because he thought his son was dead. So how could Rav Nachman over here, passing like the Chachamim, that we don't follow the umdana of the husband and that the wife is going to lose out entirely? So says Mar Shaini Hassan, the case is different over there. That he wants that there should be a call that his wife is so ne'emenes, that she's so trusted, trustworthy and she's so chashuv in her husband's eyes that he's writing all these nechasim to her. For that hana'a, she's mochel the shibud ksubasa that she has on this nechasim. And she's not choshesh that maybe a balchov muktam is going to come and is going to take everything. So, meaning there's a reason that we can assume that she's willing to take that risk, that she's willing to be mochel the shibud, that her ksuba awards her on this karka, because he's just given her something more important than the shibud, that that the ksuba awards her in this karka, and that is a reputation. He gave her a reputation as an isha na'amenes, an isha chashuva, and that's that alone is going to be enough for her to be mochel that shibud. So the umdana is not such a 100% umdana. When you have 100% umdana, like a guy who thinks his son is dead and therefore decides what else to do with his estate, so that's a 100% umdana. That kind of umdana will follow. Now we move on to another sugya, and this sugya, again, it seems what it has in common is it also talks about a halacha, and then ultimately at the end says, and would the same halacha apply if he was a bari? So Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah Maseches Peah. Hakosim nechasav libanav. Someone who writes that he's giving his nechasim to his children, v'kasav lishto karka kolshu. And at the same time, he writes that he's giving karka kolshu to his wife. he does not make it clear whether the karka that he's giving his wife is as payment for her ksuba, or it's tam matana, separate from the ksuba. So ibdu ksubasa, she can no longer collect her ksuba because he had given everything else to the children, and she was okay with that. Apparently she didn't mind the fact that he was giving everything else to the children, so apparently she's willing to forego her rights to her ksuba. Mishum dekasav la karka kolshu, ibdu ksubasa, says Gemara, what? Because he's giving her a little karka kolshu, she's going to lose out on the rights, on the shibud she has in all of his nechasim, afilim in glima dal kasvay, she could collect her ksuba from anything. And now she's going to give all of that up because she's getting a karka kolshu? How does that make any sense? So Gemara says three possibilities how it makes sense. Amirav b'mezakalen al yada. He used her, he asked her to be the one to perform the kinyan that by which they are kona these properties. Meaning she served as the shaliach for the children to make the kinyan on their behalf. So is there a greater act of mechila than that? That she was the one? She didn't say anything. She didn't say, wait a second. If all this goes to the children, what do I get? And she did it. She actively participated. That's Rav. Shmuel Amar, b'mechalik lefaneh avisha sekes. She didn't actively participate, but they were mechalik the nechasim in front of her, and she was quiet. She didn't make a macha'a, meaning as he was saying, oh, and this is going to go to my son Reuven, this is going to go to my son Shimon, she didn't say anything. She didn't say, what's going to go to me? Just that little matan. She didn't say anything. So we assume that that's a mechila. Rabbi Yosef Mechilin Omer, bomer lo atli karkazu biksu baseich. He says, no, you don't have to say that the Mishnah is talking about a case where she actively did the kinyan, nor that she was there when he was dividing it up. No, but maybe he said to her at the time that he gave her this karka, that you're going to take this karka as your ksuba, and that's it. And she didn't say anything. So that alone is a mechila for the shibud. She had nothing to do with being mechalik the nechasim to the children. But she was there when he was giving her her matan muetas, and he told her that this is for the ksuba. So in all, so those are three possibilities of how it could be that a matana muetas amounts to her being mochal the ksuba. So the Gemara explains the reason that a shibud ksuba is nimchal from the nechasim in with these umdanos. And we kulu ksuba shanukan. These are kulas that we have by a ksuba. Meaning by balchov, he would never be mochal a shibud. We would never assume there's a mechil of a shibud if he was an actual balchov, if he's someone that does mistam owed money to, even if he was the one making the kinyan on behalf of the children, or if he was there when he was dividing the properties, or any of these things, it never would amount to a mechila. It's just a kula of a ksuba, just like ksuba collects from ziburis and a balchov collects from beinonis, because the assumption is that Yosef Mishay Ish Rotzalisa Isha Rotzali Nase. You don't have to make the woman's rights, financial rights, in the marriage arrangement. They don't have to be such extraordinary rights in order to encourage her to want to get married. Women want to get married anyway, so it's not going to cause any problems in terms of shidduch crisis or anything like that, where you have a bunch of women saying, "I'd rather stay single," because the women would not rather stay single, as opposed opposed to when comes to a balchov, we want to encourage people to lend money. So we have to make it as sweet a deal as possible when you lend money, as far as getting paid back, that you can get paid back from Beinonis, not from Ziburis. That we're not going to just assume Mechila so easily when you're a balchov. But by Anisha, we can assume these things. So now the Gemara quotes the rest of the Mishnah in Maseches Peah and asks from the Hemshich of the Mishnah on what these Tanaim just said. Tanah, and the Mishnah goes on to say, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Im Kibla Aleha, Afal Pishlo, Kasavla, Ibdu Ksubasa. If she was, the first half of the Mishnah was that he was Kasavla, Karka Kol Shehu, and that's where she lost her Ksuba because we assume a mechila. What if she was mochel beferish on the shibut that she has in these fields, but he never gave her any dvar matana, anything? So ibdu ksubasa, she loses the ksuba as well. So mechlal de tanakama savar ksiva vikabalabai. It makes it sound like if that's Rabbi Yossi talking, sounds like the tanakama held that kiblalel would not be enough. Why? Because the tanakama held you need both things. You need her to be makabel, that she's being mochel ksuba, and meaning to be mochel beferish, and you need that that she received the matana kolshu in order for it to be for it to be a mechila, and without that it's not a mechila. So Rabbi Yossi comes to be cholik and say no, just with Amira alone, even without giving her anything, it's a mechila. So now that's a kasha on all the amoraim that we just quoted. We just asked on the Tanakama, wait, just because she got a matana muetas, it means she's mochel or ksuba, and we did not answer no matana muetas. And she said she's mochel. We didn't say that. We said, yeah, it means she was mochel because she actively participated. She was there. She didn't say anything. All of those answers. We don't need any of those answers. If you just read the rest of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says that she only needs a Kabbalah. The implication is Tanakama held that she's mochel uksuba when she received the matana, and she was mochel, and she was kibla aleha. So that's why she loses her ksuba. V'chitema, maybe you're going to say, no, there's no machlokas over here. Kula Rabbi Yossihi, the entirety of the Mishnah is really Rabbi Yossi, that the ratio of the Mishnah says that just being kosev karka kol shu is enough. And Rabbi Yossi says that even kibla leha alone is enough. So so you don't need both, according to the Tanakhama. It's all Rabbi Yossi. One or the other would make her lose suksuba. Either she receives a little matana, or she says she's mochel. And we asked on the Reisha, wait, just receiving a little matana means she's going to lose her ksuba? And that's where all the Amoraim said, yeah, because she actively participated in the kinyan to the children. She sat there and didn't say anything. Va'atanya, but that can't be the pshat in the Mishnah, because the Braisa tells us that Amar Rabbi Yehuda, in explaining the Shita of the Tanakhama, says, Eimasai, when does the Mishnah say that if you write karka kol shuhu, that she loses her ksuba? That's only shahaisa Sham v'kibla aleha, that she was there when the rest of the nechasim were being distributed to the children, and she was makabel beferush to be mochel her shibud. So chazak that a person does not see that you're giving their mammon to other people and is quiet, and therefore we assume that she did it b'leiv shalem. Aval haisa sham v'lo kibla aleha, but if she was not makabel or kibla aleha v'lo haisa sham, or she was makabel but she was not there at the time that it was happening, lo ivduk suba, then she does not lose her ksuba. So, because in the first case where she was there, but she was not mekabel, her shtika does not mean that she's being moda, that she's just agreeing. And in the second case where she was mekabel, but she wasn't there, she could say, I wasn't maskim, I wasn't really maskim, I was just trying to do nachas ruach lebali, I was just trying to make my husband happy. So from this braisa you see that you cannot say the entire Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. It's a machlokas, Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi, because it's mefurish that according to the Tanakhama, you need both. You need ksiva and kabbalah, meaning you need her to receive a certain portion, and you need her to be mochel, the shibud of her ksuba, against Rabbi Yossi. So again, now we're back to the point that all the Amorayim who were trying to touch up the Reisha, how could it be just because she received a little bit of property, she's mochel or ksuba? Oh, it must be she participated in the kinyan, it must be she was there. They're all wrong, because you see that the Tanakhama holds that she only loses her ksuba if she actually was mochel. That it's not that she was there or participated. She was actually mochel. So tiyufta dekulu tiyufta. It's a tiyufta on all of the Amoraim we mentioned on Amud Aleph, Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yosef and Chanina. It's a tiyufta on all three of them. So Amalei Rav and Rav Nachman, Harav, Hashmuel, Harav Yisrael Chanina. Okay, but these are the three opinions of Amoraim that we had before. Mar my Sfirilei. What do you hold? So Amoraim, meaning, what do you hold would be enough for us to interpret that she's being mochel her ksuba? So Amoraim, Shani Omer, I say that if a guy is kosev nechasov to his children in front of her and he gives her a karka kolshu, kivan sha'asah shutaf ben abanim, that alone is enough. She doesn't have to participate in the Kenyan, she doesn't have to be Shosega, just the fact that she was Makabel Chelik of the Nechasim, it's like one of the children, Ibtuk Subasa. That's enough of a Chashivus that it's going to make her want to be Mochel the Ksuba. Itmar Nami, Amr Av Yosef, Amr Nimi, Amr Av Nachman, Kimin Shasa Shuta Ben Abanim, Ibtuk Subasa. Just making her a Shutaf alone among the sons makes her lose her Ksuba. Now, Rav Nachman, we have to say, is not going, the Rashbam points out, is not going within the sheet of the Tanakama, who holds that you need both Ksiva and Kabbalah. Because if you hold that you need both Ksiva and Kabbalah, what do you mean? What are you talking about? That once she gets a chelek within the... No, getting a chelek doesn't do anything. That's reading her mind. You need Ksiva the Kabbalah. You need to give her a chelek, and she needs to say that she's a mochel. He's going within the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Yossi holds that by her being mochel, that alone is enough. So, Mistama, Rabbi Yossi would hold that being kosev nechas muetes to her is also enough. But under what circumstances would that be enough? Meaning the problem with all the Amoraim and Amar Aleph was that they were going within the sheet of the Tanakama. But if they would have been going within the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, it would make perfect sense, right? Meaning Rabbi Yossi holds one, Tanakama holds you need both in order for her to be Malchuk Suba. Tanakama holds, the Rabbi Yossi holds one or the other would be enough. So we're asking within Rabbi Yossi, if all that you had was that you were Kasav L'Nechas Muetas, what does she need to do in order to assume Mechila for Ksuba? And that's what Rav Nachman is saying. Nothing. Just the fact that she's getting this great covet of receiving Chelik in the Yerusha, like the sons, that's a Mechila the Ksuba. By Rava. So now the Gemara says, okay, all of that is by Yishchiv Mirah. Bibari Heich. What if a Bari writes all of his Nechasim to his sons and he gives a Karka Kolshu to his wife? So do we also assume she loses her Ksuba if he did so when he was a Bari? Me, I mean, Yishchiv Mirah Udiyadu Delaslei V'Kamachla. Maybe it's only by Yishchiv Mirah where she knows exactly what he owns and what he has, and she sees that he's giving it all to the sons, and she's only getting a teeny tiny piece of karka. So she's shoseik, that means she's being mochel avul bebari savar hadakani. But maybe when it comes to a bari, she assumes that eventually, you know, he's a wheeler dealer, he's a businessman, he's going to buy other nechasim, he's going to invest in other properties, he's going to. So she figures, what am I going to make a macha now and get my husband upset? There will be 1,000 other properties to collect my ksuba from anyway. But she doesn't really intend to be mochel her shibud. Odil mahashtem yaslasle. Or do we assume now he doesn't have any other nechasim and she doesn't think about what he's going to get in the future? So she should have made a macha'a. And if she didn't make a macha'a, that is interpreted as a mechila. So the Gemara says we're not really sure how to answer that question. And again, as you would guess, it's a machlokas rishonim. The Rashbam on Kuflam Gimel Rav and tomorrow's daf writes Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya, and the woman is trying to be Motzi or Ksuba from the husband, and therefore she cannot collect from it. Whereas the Rif says we assume the Ksuba is Al Cheskasa, meaning we don't know that there was a Mechila, but we know that there's a Ksuba. So if you know that she's the Mukzekas, so it's always, the answer is always the same. It's always Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. It's just always the question of who's considered the Mukzek in these cases. So now the Gemara tells a story that demonstrates how this actually played out Halacha L'Maisa. There was a guy who was a Shchiv Mira, and he had two daughters, and he was giving his nechasim to his daughters. And he said, Palga Lebras, or Palga Lebras, half my nechasim go to this daughter, half my nechasim go to this daughter, Vitilta Litas Peperi. But I want my wife to get one third of the peros from these karkaos. Ikla Rav Nachman Lesura. Rav Nachman happened to have arrived in Sura. Ol gabei Rav Chista, and Rav Chista went to visit him. So Amalei Rav Chista said to Rav Nachman, Ki agavna mai. What would you say in such a case where half of the chasm went to one daughter, half to the other daughter, and the wife got the payros? So one third of the payros. So Amalei Rav Nachman said to Rav Chista, Hachiyam Shmuel, Afilu hiknala el dekalech the payros of Yivduk Subasa. This is an exact example of the case we were just talking about. That you kosev kol nechas of Labanov, you give your wife a something, you throw her a bone, give her a little something, she loses her ksuba. So that's it. She loses zuk suba. Some lay emur da amr Shmuel hasam takne beguf da ara hachapiruhu. No. That was talking about where you gave her karka. You're not giving her karka over here. You're just giving her a little peros. So does that work also? So amr lay mitatli kamrit. What you're saying that he was only giving her peros tlushim, meaning peros that are detached from the ground that are only mitatlin mitatli vadi lo kamina. By mitatlin, I would never say that by virtue of the fact that she's receiving metaltalin, she's going to lose her ksuba. That's not what the Mishnah Peah said. The Mishnah Peah said that if you give her karka kolshu, that amounts to a mechila of the ksuba. I thought you were asking about that he was giving her peros that were still mechuber to karka, and that's why I said, oh, she's getting peros that mechuber to the karka, so then she loses her ksuba. But if you're really asking about that which is talush, that which is not karka at all, so then she doesn't lose anything at all, and she'll be able to collect all the ksuba from those nechasim. She still has a shibud on those nechasim. But as the Rashbam points out, only the most are on the peros that she was ready to mekabel. I mean, whatever peros she was ready to mekabel is a down payment on, you know, it's a payment toward the chov of the ksuba. So whatever is left over, whatever she still owed from the ksuba. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up two lines from the bottom. Everyone have a great day.